evening. I'm Hafiz Marzuki and welcome to Notepad. In tonight's episode, we will be featuring experience from three media practitioners from three different countries, including one from Malaysia. And they were relaying their experience as part of the Malaysia Transition Week, which aims to serve as a platform for journalists to exchange insights about covering transition in governments. Without further ado, let's take a look.
And the Maldives, I mean, things are pretty good right now in the sense that one of the first things that the new government did when they came in was to roll back all of those laws that impacted press freedom, like the Defamation Act. And now the state institutions that were previously to regulate the press was to be appointed by the parliament and the government. And now there's a move towards self-regulation so that the media, people chosen from the media, are the ones that are going to regulate the press, which is, if it happens, will be a huge, huge victory for us because you won't have state interference in the regulation of the media. I think in terms of, you know, the lessons from the Maldives about holding governments to account and especially in periods of democratic transitions, is I think there's two main lessons that are important. One is that the good thing that happened in the Maldives is that there was a proliferation of media outlets, and so you had plurality of voices and a plurality of ownership. So you had many, many newspapers and news media outlets that were that represented the entire views across the entire political system, and then also was owned by many different owners, which meant that the government could not crack down, you know, you couldn't crack down on everybody. So that made it more difficult for the government to control the media. The second thing was solidarity among journalists. So when the Maldives first transitioned to democracy, during the first transition in 2008, you had basically, journalists were not able to think about each other, were not able to see ourselves as like one group of people. So when one journalist came under attack, or when one newspaper came under attack, we were not able to unite. There was no solidarity in many ways. And we were also beholden to the owners of our newspapers, so journalists wouldn't necessarily work together. And after 2012, when the government was overthrown and you had many, when one newspaper was attacked, or one journalist was attacked, especially in the case of my colleague who was abducted and killed, we saw people come together, journalists come together and recognize that if one journalist is under attack or one newspaper is under attack, then we were able to see that this is something that was happening to all of us and that no one will be spared if we don't stand up for each other. For example, there was this Maverick newspaper that published a story about how the First Lady, the former First Lady, Yamin's wife, was basically, Saudi Arabia every Ramadan gives the Maldives about a ton of dates. And so she was, and this is a gift to the Maldivian people, but she basically took all the dates and was distributing it to the people of the Maldives in her name. And so there was one newspaper that wrote about this, and her husband essentially, the president of the Maldives essentially cracked down on the owner and asked him to shut down the paper. So, and that day we all protested, like all the journalists came together to protest. And about 19 of us were arrested in that protest, and it made international headlines. And I think this is an example of how it was a very small thing, and it was only one newspaper that was affected by it, but just the fact that we were all able to come together and stand up for each other really made a difference. And we also had cases where, for example, if one newspaper was not able to publish a story because of pressure on the editors or on the owners, you would have journalists calling each other, others who can publish the story and passing it on so that it can be published. So there were many ways that people, journalists really came together and sort of built allies and networks and understood that and shared stories in order to hold the government to account. So those are two things, I think. One is solidarity and working together, and then the other is this distribution of or plurality of voices and diversity of ownership that I think made it really hard for the government to shut down or kill the independent media. I mean, what's been really impressive is that the media still continues, is still playing that watchdog role, and it has to essentially, because when Yamin was voted out last year, the public gave the current government a massive mandate. So they, in addition to the presidency, they also control 2/3 of the parliament. Basically, the current government has the power to change, push through any laws, change the constitution, and so on. And this is a direct, it's a huge victory for pro-democracy forces, but also it's also quite dangerous because they have a lot of power right now. And what's been impressive for me is that my colleagues in the Maldives really understand that with the absence of the opposition, that we are the people who will hold this government to account. So there's been and this government there's still a lot of problems, especially when it comes to sort of payouts to companies and so on. And every day you see those issues come up in the media. But again, there hasn't been a major, there hasn't been major corruption, so you don't see it. And because the focus is still on transitional justice and what's happened before, it's still to be seen, I think.
In the next few months, probably. To be opposition in a country that is 9 years in a war is pretty hard. To be independent journalist in those times was also pretty hard. The regime of Slobodan Milosevic, which collapsed in the year 2000, was pretty rough on all independent media during all those wars and isolation, which we lived in the 90s. But in 1999, many things happened. In Serbia, and the biggest change was basically that people had nothing to lose anymore because they lost everything. They lost, economically everything they had from the 80s, which the 80s were the best years of former Yugoslavia, and people lived pretty good in that country. And in the 90s, the war took it all away, economically. But not only economically, a lot of lives were lost, cities and villages were destroyed, and a lot of young people immigrated from all countries, not only from Serbia. And as a big final of all those years came that NATO bombing, three months of joint action against Serbia after the conflict in Kosovo, which I covered also. So there I can say also something about myself. I started in 1993 working as a journalist, as a student on a student radio station. In 1996 I started working on a small but pretty famous radio station in those times called Radio B92, And it was really a special radio station, not only news-wise, but also culturally. It was a pretty important radio station for the whole region, not only for Serbia. It was a very brave group of journalists and editors there, not big, maybe at the peak we had 20 people working there, but with a lot of also very good independent journalists working for us all through the region. We covered all the conflicts in the 90s, before my time there, but also after, and all the protests on the streets. I was a street reporter for all the anti-regime protests for all those 4 years before the revolution happened. There is where I met Srđa, and we've been on many street protests together. He as a member of student movement Otpor, and me as a reporter of the radio station, and Pete as a hidden activist. So, but that was the point that independent media worked very close with activists from opposition parties and student organizations on bringing down the dictatorship in Serbia. And that coalition was much stronger and it had much more influence on what happened later than political parties, because people lost trust in political parties in that period, and there was something needed, something new, and that was that coalition between independent media and NGOs and student organizations. They brought the voice of a new generation, and they knew how to speak to them and how to get them out and vote in the year 2000. After many lost elections, opposition won against Milosevic in the year 2000, but the year 1999 was actually the most important one. I would like to tell a few things about 1999, because it's convenient to talk about an anniversary, 20 years ago, how it was. I would go back just to the first slide, first one, the poster. Yes. This is a very famous poster from that year. This is a poster which was made by Radio B92. A few days after the police closed us, it was fourth time that our radio was closed by force, by police force. First time it happened in 1991, then in 1992, in 1997, and then the last one was during NATO bombing in 1999, because we were accused that we are spying for Americans, and they just didn't want an independent voice while a serious war was. And the first night of bombing, we were closed by force of rifles. But we started immediately next day a campaign for liberating the radio station. And one of the things what we did was we made this poster, Free Press, and distributed to the whole country. And it was a very brave of people putting this poster all around Serbia. And people did it out of solidarity with our radio station, which was actually small but extremely popular at the time. And there was one journalist in a very small town of 8,000 people in eastern Serbia called Soko Banja. He had a radio station and he was one of three employees there, but he was the voice of that village, and he was part of a network of radio stations which were connected to our radio station. And he, during the bombing, the fifth or seventh day of bombing, he put this poster in the window of the radio station. And he was arrested and sentenced for 1 year to jail for doing this. So that's why this poster was so important, because we just gathered and all journalists from the whole country working on his case. All independent lawyers, NGOs, and networks of journalists and freelancers gathered on his case and fought for him a very long time. Actually, he went out out of jail 6 months after the revolution happened, which tells a lot also about how soft that revolution in Serbia actually was and how change was not so big as we expected, because the new government said we don't have the power to do that, we are not the court, the judge has to decide that, blah, blah, blah. So he waited for, I think, 5 months actually after the revolution to come out. So he was actually 10 months in jail for this poster. But the revolution happened in September and October 2000, and as I said, it was a joint, really a joint effort of many people in Serbia. Of course, it was done by the people, as every real revolution is done by ordinary people, people that lost everything, basically, in those in the years of 90s, and they were fed up with Milosevic, and they just wanted a change, but they wanted a huge change, and they were prepared for a huge change.